Welcome back to another episode, y'all, of Memoirs of a Geisha. Look at me trying to be consistent and put out another one. Anyway, drink of the day is kind of like a little jamba juice I got going on here. It is a Bacardi and tequila mix with some raspberry, lemon, Sprite, and I think that's it. It's serving me pretty good, though, so... I only had like two sips of it, and I'm feeling pretty good already, so I guess I'm just going to be sipping on this one cup throughout the whole episode. But yeah, so the reason that I'm sipping this concoction, because that's what today is going to be. It's going to be a little bit of a concoction. I'm going to be doing some tips. I'm going to name this episode Just the Tip, just to be a little cute. I'll be giving out some tips today on hookup life and how not to die during it. I've had a lot of hookups and some close calls. So I learned some good tips on how not to die when you are hooking up. In between the tips, I'll be telling like short stories, short hookup stories that are like kind of interesting, but not interesting enough to have its own full episode. So I guess it'll be like a bunch of mini stories in between the tips. So also at the end of this video, stay tuned for the Scoshy bit, because I'm going to be telling you all how to learn to deep throat your man. So enjoy the episode. Let's go ahead and get to it. And thanks for listening. Okay, so let's go ahead and hop into some of these tips and stories. So the first tip that I'll give when it comes to engaging into the hookup culture is get a buddy system. So one thing that it took me a while to learn to do, was to get a buddy for hooking up. And I don't mean like a buddy you take with you, you know, get them out of the gutter. But it's just a person, rather be like usually another gay friend, in my opinion, is best. That's also in the hookup culture, so that way you guys can kind of like watch out for each other. But if you got like a gay mentor or just like a best friend or anything like that, you know, that person would be somebody that, you know, I would say recommend. I had a gay friend who was in the hookup culture, but like they were kind of past that point in their life. And that's why I use it as my gay buddy. And I pretty much, when I would go on a hookup, I would pretty much say, hey, I'm going to be at this location. If, you don't hear from me by such and such time, call me, make sure I'm okay. If I don't pick up, then you need to be sending some police out to this address or something like that. So, cause you never know, like when the hookup culture, you really meet, you know, a bunch of strangers. And sometimes that could be like, most of the time it could be dangerous. And even life-threatening sometimes. I've never had it to where my buddy had to like call police out to where I was because I was missing or anything like that. And there are a few times where I didn't call him or text him at the time, like, oh, you know, I'm here, everything's cool type deal, to make sure he knew I was okay. But that's something you should do. That way you can send him the address. I'm gonna be at this location. I'll let you know when I get there. And that everything's okay. I'll let you know when I'm leaving, if I decide to leave, because sometimes I got into a hookup and it turns into an overnight thing, and then I'll get back, you know, on my phone, text and be like, hey, I'm gonna be staying here for the night, everything's, you know, cool, I'll text you in the morning when I'm ready to go. So get a buddy. A buddy will help you out in a situation where if you are in danger and you can't get to your phone or can't get away for some reason, the buddy system works for that reason. So let's get into a story. So story number one I'm going to tell is the time that this guy came over and he did something extremely kinky that I was not ready for. And it literally had me, I had to stop the sex. So this was after I was in a long relationship and I didn't want to get into a relationship, but I was horny. So I was like, I hopped into the hookup life. And this guy was older, like he was in his late 40s. White guy, really like masculine. And this dude had like, I think he had an 8.5 uncut dick. And like, I do like older types too. Like a lot of guys that are older, like, you know, I enjoy my older guys. But a lot of times with older guys, once they get past like that 8.5 mark, sometimes even 8, like they start having those, erectile, dysfunctional, problems. But, this guy was solid for what he was. So he came over, to my place. We were in my room, and I was sucking his dick, trying to get him hard or whatever. And everything was, the blowjob I gave was great, of course. So got him hard and, he asked me to bottom for him. And so I got on the bed first, like turned like away, like in doggy style. Cause like, I mean, like I do have like a science plan, like based on the shape of the dick, like I will either do doggy or lay on my back. If it's a hookup for most part though, I'll just do doggy just to make it less personal. Like when you're on your back, you like looking at them, that's a little more intimate, than I like to be with most guys. If it's just like kind of a hookup thing, but I went for the doggy, because the way like his dick was shaped, it went like in a, it went downward. And so like, it just kind of like went with the arch of like the way my ass is when I'm in doggy position. So that's why I did it. But anyway, he wanted me to be on my back or whatever. So I was like, okay, fine, whatever. So I got on my back, cause he wanted to see me jack off while he was fucking me, and he was fucking me. And then all of a sudden I'm looking at him. I think I had one hand on my dick and then one hand like on his chest, like on his nipple. I'm pretty sure I was like twisting his nipple or something like that. And then he took his hand and slapped my ball sack. Let me take a drink after that. Hold on. So, before that point in my life, I'm well past 20. And I have never been hit in the balls before. I've always seen it on TV. I've always heard people talk about it. But it had actually, up to that point, it had never happened to me. It had never happened to me in a sport. It never happened to me in a fight. Like, that, I never know how that felt before. That was some of the most worst pain I think I've ever felt. I literally, like, doubled over. Like, I, like, turned over to my side and, like, pulled my knees up to my chest. Like in pain, like doubled over like that, like on the side, on my side in the bed. And he's still trying to put his dick in me while this is happening. I like literally had to push him out of me. It was like, what are you doing? And he didn't think anything was wrong with it. I was like, you can't just like slap my balls like that, dude. I'm turning red in the face. I'm pissed off at this point. And I just literally just had to stop the sex. And I was good. I was like, you know what? Thanks for coming over. I think I'm good at this point. So that was like something really crazy that happened when I was hooking up with this guy, and I didn't expect him to do that. If you're one of these guys out there that like to slap balls of another guy, or even if you're a female that likes to do that, let a motherfucker know that that's what you went to before you do. You can't just be going around slapping balls, because if I was now knowing what that feels like, I'd probably like punch the shit out of him if I had the mind to at the time. But I was in so much pain when it happened that I didn't even like, I don't know. But anyway, do me a favor and don't do that. So let's get into tip number two. Let's just try to avoid, especially like if you're on like Grindr or like a dating app or whatever, just try to avoid putting your face and your body into the same, like your naked body into the same pic. And even expanding on that, don't put notable features of yourself in pics like that either. Like if you got a thigh tattoo that everyone knows you have, or a tramp stamp, like try to keep those things out of the picture. So you got people out here that are pick thieves. They'll take your pics, make a profile out of it, and try to pretend to be you. And then like other people will think that they're actually talking to you, and it's like, oh, like I don't know who you are. And I'm like, oh, well, you sent me your pics. Like, no, somebody took your profile, and they're using your pics. And most of the time, they'll take your pics, and they won't even use it like within your same area. They'll just like move themselves to a different location and use your pics in a different location where you're not around. So like they'll pretend to be you in other places. So that's one of the tips I have. Like don't put your face pic and your naked body in the same pic. And if you can, do it over Snapchat instead, because it's like if you do it on Grindr, it's like that person can save your pics or whatever. At least on Snapchat, if they try to save it, you can be aware that they saved, they screenshotted it or whatever. And then the thing about Snapchat too, since it just automatically erases whatever you put in there after you send it, like you can just, it'll just disappear and like it's not able to be captured. And then that also puts them in a position where they have to show you themselves in real time. So you're not getting like 10-year-old pictures and you're not getting catfish. So that way you can see face and body and you're not getting catfish. You know what you're walking into before you get there. And, you know, it's just a lot more reassuring knowing that you're talking to like a real person that's not like a picture from like 5-10 years ago. So, and then you're not putting your own stuff out there to be captured and reused for whatever reason another person that's trying to like just collect pictures is trying to use it for. So that's my tip on that. As far as like using your pictures on an app is concerned. So second story is the sexual experience that I had that is probably in my top 1 to 3. So I actually met this guy on POF, and he was a straight guy trying to explore his bisexual side a little bit. He was bi-curious, I guess you could say. So me and this guy were chatting for like a little while or whatever, and he was telling me how he had never been with a guy before, but he's been kind of curious about getting with like a guy who's a bottom. So he saw my profile, started hitting me up and chatting me up and stuff like that. And stats for him, he was about 6'2", 6'3", pretty masculine dude, kind of built. He was in the military, just kind of built. He was Puerto Rican and black, and dick size, when I did see it, it was like I guess average, like seven inch cut. He was different, but definitely one of my type of guys. So with him, we talked a little bit, and then I invited him over to my place because he couldn't host, but he had a car or whatever, so he can come over. So I invited him over to my place, see if he was comfortable with like us hanging out. So we came over, we're just like kind of hanging out in my room and watching TV. And I had sat behind him, like with my legs around him, like around his, like on his backside with my legs around him. And I was kind of like, just kind of giving him a shoulder rub and then rubbing on his chest a little bit like that. And then I moved my hands down to where his thighs and stuff was and got him pretty hard and stuff like that. And then he just turned around and just got on top of me and was like kissing me and everything and was trying to feel on me, grabbing my ass, kissing and sucking on my neck. Like he was like really trying to embrace the whole experience. So we got naked, and I wasn't expecting the sex to even be like that great when, you know, I wasn't expecting it to be that good. But we did like a 69 where he was like eating my ass while I was sucking him, and like that man can eat some ass. Like a lot of dudes, like especially for him not to have any facial hair either, like that's another thing. Like usually like guys with facial hair, they kind of have an advantage when it comes to eating ass, because like for me at least, like the facial hair feels good against my asshole. Like it just does. I enjoy it. But this guy was clean shaven, but like he if he ain't ever ate ass before, he got some natural talent because he knew what he was doing. And then after that, like he wanted to me to let him top me, so I let him top me. The sex was like really great. We did like multiple positions. He fucked me on my back, he fucked me sideways, he fucked me doggy style, he picked me up and put me up against the wall and fucked me. We went into the shower after he nutted the first time in my room. we were kind of fucking around in my room or whatever. And oh yeah, while we were fucking, one of my friends like called me, and this particular friend always hates when I don't pick the phone up. So I picked the phone up in the middle of my fuck session. I was like, what? While in the middle of me getting fucked, you're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm in the middle of getting fucked. They're like, why'd you pick the phone up? Because you told me if I don't pick the phone up, you're going to be mad. So here you go. I'm picking the phone up because you called me. What the fuck do you want? And he was like, I'll just call you back. I'll just call you back. Wow. This dude is like going to pound town on me in the background. But anyway, after he did it the first time, we went into the shower to like shower off and everything. And then like in the shower, he got hard again and fucked me in the shower. I'm not even a big fan of like water and sex. I'm not a big fan of shower sex. That shower sex was pretty fucking good. So had some shower sex, got back in my room. We were just kind of like chatting and, I was kind of getting to know him a bit more. And then all of a sudden, like I'm sucking his dick again and he blew another load. So it was just like three loads, like within like an hour and a half, but like, the sex itself was good. He was like really passionate. He was attractive. He was like very like engaging. It's like, it's something about like this, like I could tell like those things that he was like putting into the sex. He was missing that connection with women. Like a lot of times guys will do that where they'll turn to men because like they're not getting certain things from women that they're looking for. So they'll see if they can find it in the man. So I could tell he was looking for like that passionate, engaging sex. And so like the level of sex that he was giving me and the level of contact he was giving me, I was giving it right back to him, and it would just kept turning him on even more. So I could tell like he was like being deprived of that. So pay attention to y'all men, like when they, you know, try to see what they've been deprived of. Like, let's listen to them. They'll tell you indirectly what they need, and you just got to give it to them. But anyway, he gave me what I needed, and the shit just felt like really good. Easily one of my top experiences as far as sex is concerned, at least in the hookup culture. Well, overall, really, hookup culture or relationship or whatever, like the sex was good. But he was like, he was in from the military and out of town and out of towner. So I didn't get to, we didn't get to meet up often. And then he eventually, you know, moved with his unit because he kind of got into some military trouble, which is why he was where I was anyway. So he had really like strict orders or whatever. Like he couldn't do certain things. He had to be at certain places at certain time. And luckily we just happened to find time where he could disappear with me. But outside of that though, like we didn't get to meet up as often because of his military duties. So, I guess we shall go to tip, number three. So, specifically on Grindr too. I mean, you can do this on other apps that has like a grid system, but I do this for Grindr. Learn how to distance snipe. And let me tell you what that means. So a lot of people on Grindr, a lot of guys on Grindr, whatever, they don't have their distance showing. So you don't know how far they are away from you. Me personally, if you're not within if you're about 8 miles or more away, I'm probably not willing to go to where you are. In my particular area, there are so many guys in my area that are closer. Like 8 miles for me at that point is like a drive. Like for some, like the dick must be, gotta be like really good. You gotta be like really attractive or somebody I'm really into for me to drive more than 8 miles for the dick. So a lot of times what I'll do is find a couple guys that have their distance showing, add them as your favorite, and then you have your favorite grid that'll put the guys in order based on their distance. And so when guys hit you up that don't have their distance showing or that are showing offline, you can just favorite those guys temporarily, go to your grid, refresh it, and then it'll put them in the grid where they are based on their location and distance away from you and your favorites. So that's a pretty easy, especially if like the guy if he's too far off of your grid to where you can't see him on like the main grid. Like if you're not paying for Grindr, then you only get like a very small grid of guys. So if you use this favorite cheat that I'm telling you, then guys that are way outside of your grid or just right outside your grid for whatever reason, you can see a bit closer to like where they are. Even when you go to like a new location from where you're living, just pull it up sometimes and select a few guys and favorite them. They have their distance showing. So when you are out of the area, you have more area that you can cover knowing where, you know, those different type of guys are, or those different guys are that are out of your grid. So it's easy to cheat the grid system. You just need like a couple guys from like each distance that you're willing to go. And then when you have those people that show up with no distance, put them on the favorites list, refresh the list, and then you'll be able to see where they are in comparison to the guys that you favored it. And then just unfavor them. And then I guess choose if you're gonna meet up with them or not based on how far you wanna drive. But I ain't gonna lie, I'm a lazy ass bitch. Like, I'm not finna drive. I'm only gonna drive so far for the dick. Like, if the dick too far away, then I just go to bed. Like, I'm good. But anyway, that was that tip for the second, like, I guess, hookup culture tip. So story number three is the surprise threesome I had with two guys. I'm still like a golden gay. I've never had sex with a woman before. But was seeing this guy, not seeing him, but like we were hooking up regularly. I was hooking up regularly with this guy, and he was from, he was Middle Eastern, and he traveled a lot for his job. And he would, every now and then, he'd come to the city that I was living in at the time. And I ended up going to his hotel room that he would stay in. Like, every time he came by, every time he came to my city, I would go to his hotel room, and I would just kind of give him a blowjob, and then we like sit around and chat or whatever, and then I leave. Like, that was our routine. He'd come down, he'd come here to the, or come there where I was living at the time. I'd go to his room, give him some good head, and then throughout the week, I would just see him like every other day when he needed head. And he ended up asking me to come out with to a different like location, like not his usual location. And I went there. It had been like a couple months since I seen him, because he had got a new job assignment. And then once he was able to get back to the city I was living in, I went to go see him. He was in this hotel room. When I walked in there, this other guy was in there. And he was like, oh yeah, this is like my friend so-and-so or whatever. We hooked up a few times, but like apparently the guy that was there was just like more of a top or whatever. So they didn't really like mesh together, because like they were almost like both tops. So I get over there, we're like hanging out. I can't remember what reason I went over there. It was like another reason I went over there to do something. I knew I was gonna give him head, but like I was there for a different reason too. But I can't remember what that was. So anyway, he asked me to give him head, and like while his friend was like in the room, and I was like, oh, okay. And that was actually, I think that was actually my first time like performing a sexual action in front of another person who wasn't directly involved. So he pulls his dick out. And this other guy that was in there was a black guy. I would say at that time I was in my early 20s, and this guy was probably like in his mid 20s. Black guy, tall, low cut, kind of like average looking. And his dick was like, I would say he had like a 7.5 cut. And then the Middle Eastern guy was about like 5'7", kind of skinny, really like curly hair. And he had like a 6.5 uncut. But anyway, so I'm sucking this Middle Eastern guy or whatever, while this black guy's like watching me do it. And then like all of a sudden he opens a condom up, puts it on, and then it gets behind me and it's like eating my ass while I'm still sucking this other guy. And then like in my mind I'm thinking, while this is happening, is this dude about to fuck me? And then And I'm thinking, like, I hadn't had any time, like, cause I never bought him for the Middle Eastern guy, so it's like, I don't prepare when I go over there to see him, so I'm thinking to myself, like, am I, you know, clean enough for this, or whatever, and luckily I was, but this guy ends up putting his dick in me, and so he's fucking me while I'm sucking this other guy, and, like, that was, like, my first, like, threesome experience that I wasn't expecting to happen, but it was actually good, like, the experience was, like, really good, like, I had a good time. It was fun. I wouldn't necessarily say like the guy, the black dude that was there, like I wouldn't say I was necessarily like attracted to him. He was a little more like kind of like just average looking. Like he just seemed like typical black guy. He was mostly straight, because he was telling me how he was like only really attracted to women, but he ain't pulling women, so he was going to guys. And so that's kind of how we ended up. The dick was good, but like that's kind of how, you know, we ended up like fucking around. But after that, I never fucked around with the black. I never saw the black dude again. I never fucked around with him again after that. But like the Middle Eastern dude, I did continue to see him until he got a job assignment that didn't allow him to come back to my city anymore. So the funny thing about that Middle Eastern dude, he was telling me about all the different cities where he had either a girlfriend or a boyfriend in each city. So I guess I was his little, you know, his toy in that city. And when he went to another city, he had a girlfriend in that city or a boyfriend. And that's just kind of like what it was with him. So, but nobody knew he was messing with guys, but he did have some guys in other cities as well. So that was kind of like an interesting thing too. Let's go to tip number four. I would say with this tip number four, always follow your gut. So the reason I have so many of these fucking story times is because I don't follow my fucking gut. Like the bad story times, I probably had a gut feeling not to do it, and I let my horniness win and I did it anyway, and then it ended up being a terrible or dangerous experience. Always follow your gut. Like if you feel like the person sent you fake pictures, they probably sent you fake pictures. If you think the person isn't going to be as attractive as they look in those pictures, it's probably right. If you think that person might have bad breath or a smelly dick, you're probably right. Like the stuff that your gut tells you about a person when they talk and you see them, like, and you're probably right with that gut feeling. Just follow your gut feeling. And if your gut tells you not to go, just don't go. I promise you, every single time your gut tells you not to go, it'll be worth it. Every time that I've not gone, like even though I don't know what it would have been like, I'm glad I didn't go to put myself in that position, because I've been in so many positions where I didn't follow my gut and it backfired, or the experience was just terrible, or I'm laying there with the guy thinking like, oh my God, how can I make this be over faster? So that's what I have to say about following your gut. So story number four is kind of funny. Yeah, it was one of my first times with an older, like, professional guy. So, this guy was visiting the city that I was in at the time, and he was telling me, like, what he wanted. Like, he wanted a bottom guy. He wanted, you know, me to, like, come in and, like, you know, pretty much treat him like we were in, like, a relationship or whatever. He was just kind of lonely at his hotel room, asked me to come over. So I went over. He was older I was in my early 20s. He was probably mid to late 40s. Older black guy, bald, pretty, really cute face. And probably like 6'1", kind of like on the hefty side, but like he wore his weight pretty well. But like, I like stocky dudes, so that was fine with me. Kind of like a little teddy bear. So I went over there with him to his room, and I gave him like a back rub, and you know, asked him about his day. We were just kind of like chilling and talking. He was telling me like what he did for work. Apparently this guy was married, had like a family. He was a deacon at the church and everything. And so it's like, I'm like, oh yeah, you like got a whole life going. He was from out of state too, so he just like, I just kind of want to feel like I'm in like, you know, a relationship. So that's kind of what I did. Apparently that must be what he was missing at home. So gave him a good back rub, you know, kissed him on his neck and stuff like that while I'm rubbing on his shoulders, holding him around his chest while we talk and asking him questions about himself. Like that's another thing about men, especially like men that are in straight relationships. Like a lot of them like to hear, like they like to know that you're interested in them. So like, even if I'm not specifically interested in a guy, if I'm interested in him sexually, I just ask him a lot of questions about himself to let him like talk about himself. And a lot of men will be attracted to you because you are letting them talk about them. And you know, so we had a pretty good, you know, sexual experience. Like he was a pretty good top. He was a little rough with me, but I think most of that was just kind of due to inexperience. He kind of went in all at once, and I didn't get to let me ease that shit in, and I don't think he put enough lube on, and then I tried to like move away when he put it in, and he like grabbed me by my thighs and pulled me back on it, and that shit hurt. But But I got through it. It was the sexual experience after that part was great. Like the sex was good. He was kind of free. He was kind of a freak. Like he was good. It was good in bed. So, after that, like we were just sitting and talking to this hotel room and stuff like that. And he was like, you know, I got a he was gonna be leaving in the morning. He's like, I told me I could stay the night. So I stayed the night in his room, and then like. I woke up the next morning and he was still in the room sleeping, but I had to get up and go to work that next morning. So I get up and get my like shit together and stuff like that. And I go over to like where the table is to pick up all my stuff. And there was money on the table and I was looking at it or whatever. And I was like, oh, maybe he just like put that out. Like, I didn't think it was for me. I thought he like left it out by mistake. Cause he was naked and with all his clothes and stuff off too. So I'm putting all my shit on. Getting ready to walk out the door and stuff like that. And I kind of like get him like, hey, I'm headed out or whatever. He's like, okay, you know, cool. And he like kind of look over. He's like, oh, like you forgetting your shit. And he like picked the money up and like handed it to me. And I was like, why are you giving me this money? And he was like, I mean, is that not enough or whatever? And I'm like, enough for what? He was like, thinking I was a prostitute. I was like, I'm not a prostitute, man. Like I was just coming over to have a good time. And he was like, oh, like I had a really good time. I thought, you know, this is how this type of thing worked. And I was like, no, I'm not like a prostitute. But he was like, I mean, I had a good time. You showed me like, you know, you gave me everything I wanted. He was like, just let me just give you this. And so I took it. Like it was a big amount of money. I ain't gonna tell you how much it was, but it's a good amount of money. So I wasn't finna turn that down, especially at my age at the time. I was in my early 20s. So it's like that money for me, like, I mean, hell, that's a bill. That's rent and a half right there. So I took the money, and we still met up a couple times when he came back to town. But I wouldn't let him give me money anymore after that. But he would still like take me to like nice dinners and like, you know, give me little things here and there. But you know, I actually really liked him. I wasn't trying to pursue anything with him because he was married, but like I really liked him like for the guy that he was. And it just kind of sucked that he was in one of those relationships where I could tell he didn't feel appreciated, because if he did feel appreciated, I don't think he'd be cheating on the woman he was with at the time. But she sounded like she was a bitch, and so I kind of don't blame him for stepping out on her, but I made sure he got what he needed. Get back to these tips here. So I'm gonna get four more tips out and four more short stories. So let's go ahead and get into tip five. Tip number five, I will say play safe as much as possible, especially in the hookup culture. Because the way I think about it, I can open my Grindr up right now, probably find a dude that I want, talk to him and have him on my doorsteps within 20 minutes. If I can do that with a guy that I want on Grindr, these guys that you pull in, they probably doing the same thing with other guys. If they're willing to have like raw sex with you, they're probably raw dogging somebody else. Like you just don't know like who they raw dogging and how much sex they're having and how many guys they're having sex with. I'm not gonna lie, like my rap sheet is long, so mine is probably more up there than most people's. But that's why I say like play safe, like make it wear a condom, especially if it's like a new partner. I just recommend like just using condoms. Another thing you need to do is just like keep up with like your testing and your med checks. So one thing that I did was get the vaccine. So I'm like vaccinated for hepatitis. I'm vaccinated for HPV. I'm on PrEP. And I have another vaccination for something. I can't think of which one it is. But anyway, I know I was going through a phase, my whole phase or whatever, and I was being really promiscuous. And I was like mentally thinking, and this goes for y'all out here too. Like at some point, if you're in a whole phase, that whole phase is going to pass and you still need your body to be intact for when you try to find somebody you want to be with. And so that was my mentality thinking of it when I was going through my whole phase. And I was like, I still want to be functional for somebody without putting them at any kind of risk. So I keep up with my testing, the available vaccinations for STDs. I've taken those. And then I'm also like, you know, on prep, and I test pretty regularly when I'm sexually active with more than one partner. And I like raw sex. I mean, I like raw sex more than protected sex because it does feel better. But sometimes it's just simply just not worth it. Especially like if you look at a guy and just think to yourself, like, is he worth, you know, is he worth the gonorrhea or whatever the fuck he might have? So that's what my recommendation is. Be as safe as possible. Now, I will say this, though. 90% of the time, I'm not finna suck your dick through a condom. So, like, if I feel like I gotta suck your dick through a condom, like, if you give me that kind of vibe, like, I'm probably not gonna sleep with you. But for me, personally, I'll just be honest, like, outside of oral sex, like, I try to be as safe as possible until I am exclusive with someone. And then even when I'm exclusive with someone, I encourage us to get tested together. And then that way I feel safer with us, having unprotected sex. So that's my tip, for the hookup culture. Like if they willing to meet up with you and just like raw dog it out, they're probably dealing with other people. I guess one reason why I like messing with married guys is they're like extremely careful because they don't want to pass anything to their wife or their husband if they have one. So usually the married guys are usually a lot lower risk than like the, you know, single or younger guys. They kind of have like a method behind what they do in order to kind of keep their secret. So if you don't mind being a homewrecker, be a homewrecker and you'll probably be less at risk, if that makes sense. Speaking of married men, story number 5. I was meeting up with this older guy kind of regularly. His wife would go out of town and they had this big ass house out in the rich neighborhood. And I would come out there and enjoy their wine and like hang out with him. He was a lot of fun. And one day we were fucking around in his bedroom and the door opened. So he is like 6 inches deep in me at this point, and I look over at the door and his wife is at the door, and he immediately got, I could feel him immediately like get soft inside. You know, when you get in trouble, like when you're drunk or something crazy happened when you're drunk, you immediately get sober. He immediately got soft. Like the dick just got, it just shriveled up. It was still in my ass at that point. So it shriveled up so fast that my asshole tightened around it. So I had his like limp dick tightened into my ass and kind of had to like pull it out because my ass wouldn't let it go. And so he's trying to get out of me, and then like she's yelling and like bitching at him, and I'm trying to be as quick as possible, getting my shit, getting my clothes on and shit like that, because like that's some shit where, so she's liable to beat my ass because like I'm in her house, like her husband fucking me, and like I don't know, it was just a bad situation. But luckily, I was able to get my shit and get out of there before she went to me. But I could tell she was about to get him the business or whatever that was when I left. But I never heard from him again after that. So I'm pretty sure he probably got into like some big trouble. They probably divorced or some shit. I don't know. But I think that may be the only time I actually had someone significant other walk in on me while we were having sex. So that's another thing you got to be careful about. Like if they married or in a relationship or have a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, whatever, like if you can host instead of traveling to where they are, go ahead and host. It's just better not even to take the chance, because like she could have easily saw me, started seeing red, and then just shot my ass or something like that. And I'm in her house. So, I mean, what do you think? You know, it could have just been a bad situation. Like, so if you can host for somebody that's in a relationship and trying to like get something in real quick, when you might have a chance of might getting caught, just host. so you don't have to deal with that type of shit. But I don't know, some of y'all motherfuckers crazy. Y'all like the possibility of getting caught, and then when you actually get caught, you don't know what the fuck to do. So at least have, if you're gonna be doing that, at least have like a plan of action. Leave your clothes laid out to where you can slip your underwear on real easy, or where you can gather all your stuff real quick and run naked to your car and change in the car. Like, just have a game plan in place before that type of shit. Like, nowadays, when I go sleep with guys that have like roommates, a significant other or something like that, like, I always keep like a game plan of what I'm going to do if this person walks in. Like, I know where my clothes are. If I am going to have time to put on clothes, I know while I'm running to the car, I'm slipping these pants on, putting this shirt on. Like, just have a whole game plan going on for the possibility of getting caught by somebody else who lives there, regardless of who they are. So, tip number 6, I will say, don't get used. Not in the sexual way, because getting used in a sexual way can be kind of hot too, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, you have shiesty motherfuckers in the hookup culture. They trying to get a buck, they trying to steal from you, they trying to get over on you, they trying to get drugs or something. So, you'll learn, if you're in the hookup culture long enough, you will learn what a cokehead looks like, a meth head. Like, the gay cokeheads and meth heads and stuff like that, they, potheads for, even for that matter, they look different from like regular world crackhead, potheads, and meth heads. Like, the gay look for them is the gay ones in the gay community just look different, and you just have to learn what those look like. And the thing about it is, they will try to use you for like, oh well, if I'm coming over to your place, I'm gonna need some gas money, and they'll try to like hustle $20 out of you. Or they'll get there and be like, oh, like, can you give me $20 to go home? Anytime anybody asks you for anything in exchange for the sexual experience, in my opinion, they being a prostitute. Don't give them shit. If they ask for that shit before they get there in the chat, just block them. Just, they're no good. And then when they get there and they ask you for some shit, you don't have it. So, especially like the straight acting guys, a lot of the straight acting guys, or straight guys for that matter, will try to hustle, you know, the little gay boy who wants some straight dick. They know what they're doing. Do not give them shit. I'm warning you. And they'll try to use you, take your shit. And if you invited them to come to your place, regardless of if they look like they straight or not, straight looking or not, look like a meth head or not, if they're in your place, always know where they are at all times. Never leave them in a room alone unless it's the fucking bathroom. They'll list some shit off of you, and then you'll come to your house or whatever, and your shit gone. It's like, make sure you know where they are at all times, and make sure you never ever give them anything. They will, like, guys will try to use you and take your shit if they think you are gullible enough. So don't let them do that. So now that that's out of the way, story number 6 is my first A-Nun experience. So if y'all, for y'all who don't know what A-Nun is, like, it's having sex with like an anonymous person. Like, you may have seen like parts of them, but like, you don't know what their face looked like. You don't know their name. You never really get to see them. So I had never done, it took me a long time to actually let somebody convince me to do the A-Nun thing, because like, I don't know, I'm kind of weird. It's like, if you're going to know where I live and shit like that, like, I kind of want to know what you look like, you know, it's just shit like that. Like, if some shit pop up, I need to know what you look like. But anyway, I had a guy hit me up on Grindr one night, and he, you know, we traded pics and we were talking, and he was, from the pics I saw, he was pretty hot. We didn't do a face trade because he was claiming he was straight, but he was like working up the street from where I lived, and he was like, I could take a break and come over there and fuck you. And I was like, okay. He's like, you mind if we do an A-Nun? And I was like, okay, A-Nun in what way? Because A-Nun to every guy also doesn't mean the same thing. So what he wanted to do was come in, it'd be completely dark in my place. He wanted me to give him head, then he was gonna fuck me, then he was gonna walk out and leave without a word. Now, that sounds really kinky and hot, and I'm not gonna lie, it was really kinky and hot. He came in, I sucked him hard, and he had like, I don't know, it's like something about like the dick that are like girthy, but like not too fat, and then like that right amount of like length to it. It's just like, it just seemed like so perfect, you know, for sucking. So like, I sucked his dick, And I got him hard, and then he walked around my couch because I was sucking him on the backside of my couch. He was like standing right there. And then he walked around the couch, and I was kind of like, my chest was like against the back of the couch with my hands like on the back of it, and with my knees on the cushions. And then he like kind of got behind me with his hands on the back of the couch now, like pressing his body up against mine. And then he put his dick in me, he fucked me, and it was a good fuck. And then he came, and then he pulled out, pulled his pants up, walked right out the door, and the experience was over. So I will say this, it wasn't uncomfortable, the sex was great, but I didn't like the unknown. I did not like the unknown factor, but I did like the fact that I didn't have to commit to any sort of like conversation. Like we didn't have to talk. Like he got what he needed, I got what I wanted, and then he left, and that was the end of it. Like I just went back to my day as normal. Then the other uncomfortable piece is like this guy knows where I live, and I don't even know what the fuck he looks like. So that piece kind of like bothered me. So that was the one and only time I did Anon, but it was an interesting experience. I wouldn't recommend it if that's not your thing. But for what it was, the one time that I did do it, I mean, it was fun. So I can't lie about that. Like, but I could tell like he did. I could tell from his behavior that he had done it a couple times. Like he just seemed like he was just too natural with it, and that bothered me too. Because like, well, damn, who else like you? Like, how many other people you fucking like this? It's kind of, I don't know. It just didn't sit with me right. So I just never did it again. So, tip number 7, I would say keep a black book. So what I do, every single guy that I ever sleep with on any app, I usually take a screenshot of their profile, or I favorite the profile on the app. And I include the date that I slept with them. And then if they have a blank profile, I include some sort of description, like, I don't know, married guy with, you know, the two sons, or straight hairy guy with the bent dick or something like that. Like whatever in my mind makes me remember who they are. Like I put that on like a profile note for them, and I put the date that I slept with them. It kind of helps you keep count of how much of a hoe you've been. And then like, you just kind of like, I think in general, it's just good. It's a good habit to keep track of like the amount of partners that you're having, and it'll mentally kind of let you see what kind of guys you like, or what kind of guys you're picking out. And just mentally, it's a little more, for me, it's a little more relaxing mentally, knowing that like I know a bit about, you know, this guy or whatever. And it kind of made me create a circle of hookups. Like after a while, I kind of built a circle of hookups where I just started pulling from the same guys that I wanted. After I kind of like created, it's almost like, I mean, it sounds hoish, but it's like almost creating like a clientele. Like when, I mean, I could get dick Monday through Friday, well, Sunday through Saturday if I wanted from a different guy, you know, I have one guy for every day of the week. But that way, like when you start pulling from the same guys, you put yourself at less risk. And, you know, if you need to reach out to them for like whatever reason, like, hell, you want some dick on, you know, it just makes your life so much easier when you keep a black book. And hell, you might just want to reminisce like I'm doing on the fucking story. So I do that sometimes. I just kind of go through my Grindr favorite. Like my Grindr favorites consist of all the guys that I've slept with. And sometimes I just go through my Grindr favorites and like look at the conversations, and I think about, you know, those experiences, and they're kind of fun. They make for really fun stories too. So hell, you could be on here one day telling one of your story times. So that's my tip. Keep a black book. Story number 7 is I was really young. This is before I was, this is my first anal sex experience. So there was a guy in high school that I lost my virginity to. And the night that I lost my virginity to him, at least anally, because I had already blew him a few times. So this time he wanted to try anal sex. And I remember we were at my parents' place, and I have siblings, and they were like sleeping. So we were trying to like be quiet. while we were doing it, it was like in the middle of the night, and he was like staying the night. And he was big, like, now thinking about it, thinking about him, he was big for his age. Like, his dick was big for his age. He was average size, like, skinny guy. Like, at that time, he was, like, maybe 5'8". Black guy, low cut. But his dick at that age was, like, an 8-inch uncut dick. And it was, like, a thick one. Like, he had his big-ass head, big-ass dick head. And then, like, the top of his dick, before it got down to the base, like the shaft of it, the top of the shaft was wide, and then it got narrower as, you know, it got to the base. So I was handling a lot, fucking around with this kid. But anyway, this was the first time I gave somebody a chili dog, and I was extremely embarrassed. So he put his dick in, and it was the first time I had ever been penetrated anally. And like, he was, after I got over like the pain of it, like, I remember he put it in first, and he put it in too far and too fast. And I remember jumping up and like holding my asshole because it was so painful. And then like, when the pain kind of went away, I let him like ease it in. And then he was like stroking and rocking or whatever. And then he was like, "You smell that?" And I was like, "Smell what?" And then like, I kind of like turned my head around to look at him, and then I could smell it. And I was like, "Holy shit, it smells like shit." And so he pulls his dick out, and there's like just shit all over his dick. And I was like so embarrassed. And in my parents' house, we only had one bathroom. So one of us had to go to the bathroom while the other one had to sit there with the shit. But since it was my shit, I let him go to the bathroom first to like clean himself up while I kind of sat in my room with a shitty ass. And then after he was done, I went into the bathroom, got myself cleaned up. Needless to say, it was a while before we tried anal sex again, but like, once I did some research on it myself after that happened, and then we were able to do it again, and it was great that time. Like, after I learned how to like properly clean myself before sex, you know, it was great. So tip number 8, be extremely clear with what you want to do sexually before you hook up. So you have these guys out there, it's like, okay, so I'm really particular about my sex. I'm a bottom, I don't top, I suck dick, I typically don't like getting my dick sucked. I don't usually kiss hookups. I'd say I don't eat ass, but if I'm really, really into the guy, I will eat his ass if he wants me to, but typically I do not eat ass. And then I think those are about like most of my like do's and don'ts as far as like where I am on the gay sexual spectrum. So anytime I'm looking for sex, in my profile, I'm extremely clear about what I'm trying to do, whether it's sucking dick or trying to bottom. I say what I want to do and what I don't want to do. And then what I'm not into, because like, I'll just be honest, like, I'm not really into like feminine men. And I'm not into like druggies. So like, I'm fine with guys who like maybe like smoke pot or something, but like, if you're doing all this heroin and meth and all this stuff, like, I'm not even interested in you, man. It's like, I can usually tell you by looking at a guy, like, if he's on meth or some shit like that. So but yeah, like, usually like feminine guys I'm not interested in, and I just go ahead and put it out there that I'm not interested in guys who suck dick, and I'm not interested in guys who bottom. So like, versatile verse guys, bottoms, and bottoms I don't even hook up with, because like the sex with those three types, I've had sex with verse guys that have only topped me, and I can always tell that they're versatile. Like, the sex is just different. Like, and you'll discover that if you decide to go into the hookup culture, the distinction between a top and a verse guy, even if they are both only topping, it's extremely different. I can always tell, like, if this guy is a top or if he's verse. Like, I can tell if he's faking it. So that's kind of what I do with mine, because you'll have guys that are like, say, "Oh, I'm open." Like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, what are you into? Like, just say what the fuck you looking for, so we can see if we match, and if we don't, we can move on. If we do, we can meet up. So like, I hate guys that do that shit with like, "Oh, I'm open," or "Oh, I'm down for whatever." If you give me any one of those answers, it's an immediate no. So, because you don't fit on my sexual spectrum, apparently. Like, we don't match up. So that's like, be clear what you want sexually, and don't let anybody try to shame you for being like, if, oh, you only top or you only bottom. If that's what you like to do sexually, then they ain't got shit to do with it. That's what you enjoy. Like, I never let any dude like shame me because I only bottom, or I won't let him suck my dick. And it's great. It's been great for me. Like, I've had amazing sex the way I want to have sex with the people that want to have sex the way that I want them to do it. And that's really how I think, you know, you should do it in the hookup culture. These people, you ain't trying to get to know these people for real. So get what you need to get out of it and get moving. Like, that's how I feel about it. So be really specific with what you want and really clear as far as sex. So last story is story number 8. This is the time I was hooking up with this guy. I was at a marathon in the middle of downtown, supporting one of my friends, and they had already left, and I was waiting for them to come back to the finish line. He hit me up on Grindr, and he was a white guy with red hair, about 5'8", kind of on the skinny side, but kind of toned, and he told me his dick pic, and he had like this, he had a nice dick. It was like 7.5 cut, but it was like one of those dicks that bent like toward, that bent downward when he got hard. I don't know, I like dicks like that because they're easier to deep throat, but he had a really good amount of girth to his too that was like almost perfect. And then like his balls like hang like at the right, like they weren't too droopy, but they didn't pull up to him like too far. Like, I don't know, something about this dude's dick was perfect to me. So we ended up hooking up a few times, and it got to the point where we were actually like kind of chatting a bit, like in between hookups, like we would just kind of like chat and shit like that. And I discovered like he had a son and an ex-wife that he was still in love with, who remarried this other dude that he thought was a douchebag. But anyway, all this is beside the stuff. That's beside the point. I will tell stories about him later because they are kind of interesting. But anyway, one day me and him were fucking around. He invited me over to his place. And I low-key didn't like going to his place because he lived in the hood, and like his neighbors were like hood, like gangster hood. And you got this like white dude on this street with like these gangster hood people that know him and that he openly doesn't like, and says to them that he doesn't like. I'm like, what if one of these motherfuckers like just busts up in here, like, and it's like he's had some shit happen before, like then I fucked his car up and I fucked up the side of his house, and it's like a fucking war. So it was like, I get over there and like I low key don't be feeling safe. But anyway, one day I was sucking his dick, and he was one of the guys that I ate his ass. He's one of the guys whose ass I would eat. And like after I would eat his ass, like I would suck his dick while fingering his prostate, and it would just like make him explode. So one day I'm like sucking him after I've eaten his ass, and I'm like fingering his prostate, and he asked me to put my dick in there, and I was like, come again. Let me get a little bit of sip of this this jungle juice. I'm not sure if I heard what he said. Hold on. I said, what? And he said, I want you to fuck me. And like, you know I don't top, right? And he's like, you don't top? I'm like, yeah, you know that about me. I told you that the first day we met, I do not top. And like I tried topping one time with the first guy I've ever slept with. And like my dick, when my dick get near some ass, like it's limp. Like I'm not a top. I don't want to try to fuck a guy. It's not something I want to do. I'm a bottom. I'm comfortable with being a bottom, and I'm comfortable not changing that for other guys who want me to top. Like if that's a requirement for me and you to fuck around or be together, then we just don't match enough to be together. So anyway, that was that situation. I ended up still just fingering his prostate and making him blow that way. But needless to say, after that kind of happened, it kind of put me in a position where it's like, I wouldn't really want to hook up with him that often, depending on what kind of mood I felt like he was in. So, but more to come on that, because he did ask me about some other weird shit, and then it just kind of turned me off to him altogether, and I just ended up blocking him. But I still kept his pictures, though. But, so, that was my tips and stories. Just a tip today. So hopefully y'all enjoyed those tips. Hopefully those of you that are out there in the hookup culture or thinking about getting into the hookup culture, hopefully those were helpful. If you have questions, you can go in on my Twitter, hit me up on Twitter. My Twitter is at @a_geisha, GAYSHA. Podcast locations, y'all, is Google Podcast, Spotify, Breaker, Radio Public, Anchor. So if you thought this was entertaining, you think your friends would think this is entertaining or helpful, you know, put them on it too. Let them listen and follow me on Twitter. Stick around for the Scoshy Bits coming up next. I have some tips for y'all when it comes to deep throating. Y'all, welcome to Scoshy Bits. So today's Scoshy Bit is going to be how to train yourself to deep throat. Well, this is how I train myself to do it. So there are a couple different ways you can go about this, but I will say this first. If you're trying to deep throat dick, cock, whatever you want to call it, you have to like sucking dick. Like, this is going to be extremely difficult for you if putting dick in your mouth repulses you. I like sucking dick, so it was easy for me to do. Even if you don't like it and you just somewhat enjoy it, like, it'll be easy. Like, but if you are repulsed by doing it, like, putting it in your throat is only going to make a gag. So, like, if you don't like sucking dick, this is not, this, you probably just need to just go to women or do something else. Like, this is not going to do, not going to get you anywhere. So, let's go ahead and get into these tips. Some of the stuff that I use to train myself on how to do it. So I've had some guys that have been, like, pretty big before. And when I first started sucking dick when I was younger, like, I was only letting it go to the back of my throat because I didn't know how to open my throat in order to let it go past, like, that initial, like, first part of my mouth. Like, I was sucking dick in my mouth and not in my throat. That's where you want to start at. So a good way to do that better is to start off with it. If it's a big dick, start off with it soft. So, like, you want them to have a soft dick first, and you put it in your mouth and, like, let it grow in your mouth. And, like, as it's growing, it should still be soft enough to where you can swallow it down, like, the back of your throat without it being fully hard. And then it just gets hard in the back of your throat. But since it grew hard in your throat should be able to kind of, you should be able to kind of, like, manage your gag reflex. So that's kind of like a way to train your gag reflex is to, like, suck on it down your throat while it's soft and it's growing. And then your throat just kind of, like, does the rest as long as you control your gag reflex. So you kind of want to think of it as, like, you're swallowing food, but, like, don't chew it. But you want to think of it as, like, you swallowing some food. So, like, that's the same motion that you use to deep throat. So, like, that same motion that I use to swallow food is the same that I use for deep throating. So, like, I open my throat up, like, I'm letting food go back there. But then, like, I just leave my, I control my gag reflex, and I just let the dick just grow hard in my throat like that. Now, I'm at a point now where the dick can already be hard, and I can just open my throat and still deep throat it, hard or not. But that's a way to kind of, like, start you off. So one way I learned to control my gag reflex, I would focus on, if your brain is focusing on something else while you're doing it, while you're sucking dick, deep throating it, you will be less likely to gag. So my trick that I used was taking my thumb and putting it into my palm and then closing my fingers around it. And, like, I was focusing on doing that while I was sucking dick deeply, and it helped me to train my gag reflex. My brain was focusing on doing something else while I was deep throating the dick. So, like, if you can get your brain to focus on, like, another task that your body is doing while you're training yourself to deep throat, then you'll be less likely to gag. And then after a while, it'll just come naturally to you to not gag when that's happening. So, I mean, that's a good way to do it. So, mine's is the whole thumb into the palm trick to not gag. But I don't have to use that anymore. But like when I first started learning to control my gag reflex, that's what I did. Another good tip is don't panic when it gets down in your throat and you feel like you can't breathe. You will learn to breathe around the dick. If you can open your mouth wide enough to take a breath, or as it's coming out to go back in, like when you're doing that back and forth motion, learn how to breathe in between. If you need to take it out for a minute, take it out for a minute. But once you get that rhythm going, learn, it's like when you're running, like learn how to breathe, learn when you need to breathe in and breathe out in between. Like take some fucking yoga lessons. Like it'll teach you what you need to do with your breath. Like breathe in around the dick. Like when, as it's coming out, breathe in, and as it's going back in, breathe out. Control the gag reflex with the palm in the hand trick, and you should be golden when it comes to breathing around it. Never panic and think that you're choking. You're not choking, okay? So, I mean, depending on the dick. Most you're not going to choke on most of the dicks. So, the next thing is, like, knowing the shape of the dick in comparison to a throat. So, for guys whose dicks curve upward when they're hard, which is most dicks, it's best to do the... Like, if it curves upward, like, toward, like, their belly button or whatever, it's best to do that one, like, 69 style, because it'll fit into the shape of your throat. If they got one of those dicks where they jacked off too much as a teen and it's, like, leaning to the side, left or right, then whatever side it is leaning towards, that's the side that you need to be on so that it'll fit into your throat like a... into like your throat pocket. And then if it's a dick that goes downwards, like it curves like a banana going downwards, then that is a good one to just kind of do, you know, on your knees. And if it's a dick that goes straight forward, then that one is best like with him laying down on his back and you like on top of him like that. Not in 69, but like the other way. So remember all those orientations. So if it's one that curves upward, 69 one is best. If it's that left or right curve, you want to get on the side that is curving towards. Then if it's one that goes downwards, on your knees is best. And then if it's straight forward or close or you know more straight, then him laying on his back is the best way to do that one. So those are my deep throat dick sucking tips that I can give y'all in relation to that. This is another Scoshy Bits. I'm going to have more of these throughout the episodes. Again, thank y'all so much for listening. Try this fucking jungle juice out that I told y'all to make, and have a good night. Like, I'll be back soon, I promise.